Good morning. Welcome to Pledge Sunday and Soup Luncheon. So after the service, you're all invited to go downstairs and have a multitude of soups. Last year, they all sounded so good to me that I took a little of each one in the same bowl. So if you're going to have more, just have one at a time and one flavor at a time. As we know, tomorrow is Veterans Day, and we have veterans in this church, and we really appreciate what they did with their service for our country. So thank you to the vets. Sugar is $1.39 for four. I don't know, is it one more week or two? Two, I think.
And we've,
Myers is $1.39. Well, we're getting quite a bit back there. I tried to count it, but I couldn't get that high. So, and more has come in this morning. I had a phone call from Joanne the other day. And she's working very, very hard to get her strength back and doing everything to know how much she misses all of you. And this is what she does when she goes to bed at night. Now, we all know most of us have our own cues. I mean, we sit in the same place. Every night, she prays for each one of you separately. And I think probably she has to go by, you know, where we sit. And I hope she prays for us up here and not just those out there. But she wanted you to know how much she appreciate everything that has been done, and she's so grateful to Rachel. And are there any other announcements? How about some joys or concerns? Sir?
We have the magnificent Paul Munson with us.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I was thinking people that pick Anna up could pick Paul up, too, seeing they're both in Fenville. Yes?
Myself working in the yard instead of he's in church today, but his heart is referring back to that water he had. So he has to go in again Tuesday for more time.
Oh, well.
You know, back into the rhythm that they want to be.
Oh, okay.
He's very good about taking his meds, taking his blood pressure.
Oh, well, he needs our prayers, too.
Yes, he does. I tell him he's got to get better.
Right. Right. I know. We got to keep those men going. Well, let's ring the bell. For the call to worship. We are children of God. Therefore, let us worship the Lord with sincere hearts.
We are God's children because God loves us. And we worship God because we love Him as our Heavenly Father.
As children of God, we are challenged to live like Jesus, to strive to follow His example.
May we worship God each day as we live our lives in obedience to His Word.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as your trusting children, we know that we can count on your love. You have given us your Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee of all that you have in store for us. We come now to give praise and thanks as we seek to know your today. Amen. Now we'll sing hymn 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
See you. Good to be here. I wanted to give you just a little update. I haven't done this very often because I don't see my doctor very often, which is good. But I actually saw the physician's assistant on Friday, and I got a really good report. My blood work, except for one thing, the only thing that didn't look good was the platelets had dropped a little, and not at a point where they needed to change anything, but if they, I go back and March. And if there needs to be a change, it would be a smaller dose of the chemo, which I would welcome. So I'm doing well. The physician's assistant. I'd tell you his name, but I can't pronounce his last name. His first name's Aaron. That's a good Bible name, I guess. My leukemia in December will have been in remission for well, they have some qualifying words in front of remission, but it'll in 2 years in remission. He said four, but the doctor had told me two. Then they begin to talk about going off the chemo or reducing the dose, just depending on that. So I'm sharing this with you because you have been praying for me, and I wanted you to know that the doctor thinks I'm doing well, and so I'm thankful for all of that. And I wanted to say this, and I will say it, but I think as well as when life is difficult. So, but I'll say it now. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. I want to invite you to a time of prayer. Remember the prayer concerns that have been shared. Please, concerns that you have. We'll have silent prayer. I will lead us in our pastoral prayer. We'll share the Lord's Prayer together. And then in the Faith We Smaller songbook, we will sing In His Time. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we're reminded of the words of the psalmist, and we join in his words. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're thankful for this day and this opportunity for worship together. We're grateful for all who have gathered here with us this morning. We're thankful for the opportunity to say thank you and to worship you and to seek out your wisdom and guidance for our lives. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for family and friends. We thank you for those whom we love and who love us. We're thankful for that measure of health and strength we experience in our lives each day. We're grateful for opportunities to work and serve and share and be part of your larger family of God. We thank you and praise you for your Son, his life and death and resurrection with power and ascension, that through him we receive forgiveness. We have the opportunity to begin again and again. And we thank you for your Spirit who is with us always, helping us to understand your word, encouraging, giving us comfort, guiding us in how we should live. And we thank you for your great love for us. And it is our prayer that with your help, we might live more in harmony with your word and will and the example of Jesus. We ask for forgiveness for our sins and failures, and we pray that your Spirit will empower us to live more in harmony with your way. We're thankful that you're a God who cares about people who we have mentioned their names moments ago, as well as those we carry in our hearts. We pray for your ministry in their lives, for healing, encouragement, for spiritual guidance. We offer prayers for our world. We know there are many who suffer in our world, and many who have not heard the good news of your love, who are working to minister to people's physical and spiritual needs. We pray for peace in our world, and we pray for peacemakers that would be lifted up and used by you to bring peace in our troubled world. We pray for our nation and our leaders. We pray for your church, that larger church nations. We pray for the churches in Saugatuck and Douglas and the surrounding area, that you would bless them and continue to use them to share your love. We ask your blessing upon us as a congregation. Use us as well to share your love and invite people into relationship to you through your Son, Jesus. We pray now that you would hear us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Morning scripture reading is from the New Testament, the book of 1 Peter, chapters 1 and verses 13 through 25. It's found in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible on page 216. Therefore, gird up your minds, be sober, set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you as the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed. He who called you is holy. Written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you invoke the Father as Father, him who judges each one impartially according to his deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like he was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of times for your sake. Through him you have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brethren, love one another earnestly from the heart. You have been born anew in an abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. The word is the good news which was preached to you. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite you now for our healing prayer. And the pattern that we follow is that I will lead us in the prayer, and when we come to the moment for names, you may speak those names aloud or silently. And it's okay if more than one of us speaks. Our sharing is not for each other, really, it's for God. So please join me for this prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy. So in just a moment, we will receive our offering. Rich, why don't you come and share about the pledge sheets first. Forgot.
Today, indeed, is a day of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the blessings of health for a minister. Thanksgiving for seeing Mr. Munson, the Slotmans. We're very happy to have you folks here today. Today, we give thanks. November is a month of Thanksgiving. We have our Thanksgiving feast, all for which the blessings of which God has given us. Today, at the end of the service, you'll bring forth your commitment for the year 2020 to share some of what God has given to you, and you will bring some of that back to God. We give very much thanks for that, for the ability to be able to do that. At the conclusion of the service, please feel free to come forward and place your commitment for 2020 in the baskets, in preparation as to how you will be prepared to renew your commitment to participate in the ministries of the church. God bless you all.
Ushers will wait upon us now and we'll receive our offering.
You're welcome to join me in singing a song out of faith we sing, More Like You.
2157?
67.
Oh, 67.
Thank you.
Father, it's our prayer that you would bless these gifts that we offer in your service to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we'll sing Stand Up for Jesus, found on 514.
Morning is found in the book of Jude, chapter 1. There really is only one chapter in the book of Jude, verses 3 and 4. Way, way back, almost to the very end of your New Testament. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 of Jude from the NIV and then from the Amplified Bible. Jude writes, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license, our only Savior and Lord." From the Amplified. And the Amplified Bible was popular probably 30 or more years ago. You don't hear much about it anymore. But what the Amplified Bible does is it just, as the name says, it amplifies and gives you the added meaning for some of the words that are used in Scripture. So here is the reading. "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I was compelled to write to you urgently appealing that you might strenuously, that you fight strenuously for the defeat, for the defense of the faith which was once for all, the faith that is the sum of Christian belief that was given verbally to believers. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, just as if they were sneaking in by a side door. They are ungodly persons whose condemnation was predicted long ago, for they distort the grace of our Lord into decadence, opportunity to do whatever they want, and deny and disown our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. I also want to read to you two other passages, 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. Paul writes to Timothy, "The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will get what the itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ways away from the truth and turn aside to myths." And then 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that you'd speak to us anew through your word, through your messenger. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Distractions. The scripture starts with a distraction. And some distractions are good because they get us headed where we need to be, and other, we think of the distractions that are not good. I remember one of the very first sermons I preached when I was in seminary, and my audience was my peers, my fellow seminarians, and my teacher. Not a very good congregation. Not a very good congregation to preach to, because you know the teacher is going to be grading you. In the middle of my sermon, they were mowing grass outside the chapel, and the mower hit something and made a loud noise. And I remember somehow I included that in the sermon that I was preaching at the time. Distractions. We live in a day when there are lots of distractions. I wanted to share with you a distraction to do with Yogi Berra, who was a catcher for the New York Yankees, and Hank Aaron, who at that time played for the Milwaukee Braves. It was a World Series game. And Hank Aaron was one of the most powerful hitters in baseball at the time. They were playing, and Yogi Berra was a catcher, and he was chattering. Hot kids. So do you remember this? When somebody was up to bat, the catcher would say this, but so would the fielders as well. They would chatter, "Hey, batter, batter, batter." You remember that? And then when the pitcher threw the ball, they would all say, "Swing, swing." Well, Aaron was up to bat, and Yogi Berra was a catcher, and he was doing that kind of thing. He was trying to distract Hank Aaron, and he was trying to encourage his team that was on the field. And as Aaron came to the plate, Yogi said, "Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so you can read the trademark." That's not quite right. Aaron's next pitch, he hit into the bleachers in left field. Home run. He rounded the bases, and as he was touching home plate, he turned and he looked at Yogi Berra and he said, "I didn't come up here to read." distractions. Concentration, I guess. He was writing a paper about salvation. It was on his heart. It was something he felt he needed to do, but he was distracted by word he heard about false teachers. And Jude says that he felt compelled to contend. If you want to know what the book of Jude is about and what is central to the book, it's really found in verse 3. I gave it the words contend for the faith or contending for the faith, but you could say simply keep the faith. Keep the faith. The word that's used there means to come alongside and inspire. Jude wanted people to have passion in their lives for the truth, or the truth that is found in Scripture. I recall a number of years ago, a man, he was a doctor, well known in the community, in our church, and he made an appointment to come in and talk to me. And he said, "Well, Pastor, I have a question for you. I'm thinking about retiring, but I don't know for sure what I should do. I don't feel like I have the ability to tell anyone whether or not maybe look at the situation. But I had no idea when he was coming in what he was going to ask me. Think about that for a moment. If someone came to you and said, 'I'm thinking about retiring, but I don't know what to do,' what would you say to them?" I said to him, "Do you still have a passion for the work? Do you still have a passion to be a doctor?" And initially, he said yes. He did. But as time went on, he retired. I suspect he still had a passion for being a doctor, but the passion was different than when he first became a doctor. I want to interpret that in terms of faith. Do you remember when you first became a believer? Or when the reality of being a believer first sunk into your mind and heart? Do you remember the passion that you had at that moment, at that time, at some place in your life when God was real to you? Do you still have that passion? I remember a number of years ago at annual conference, Bishop was speaking. It was, I think, the second year that they decided to have annual conference over on Sunday. Usually it ended on Saturday night, but they were going to have it on Sunday. And I was not happy about that. I like to be. And the first time they did that, I didn't go. I went home to my church and I preached. But the next year, that year, I decided, well, I'll give it a try. So I stayed through Sunday worship, and the bishop was speaking, and he talked about all the things that were going through the church at that time. And he said, you know, what's really, really important is love Jesus. You still love Jesus. Jude is talking about a passion for the faith. And he says to the church, because this is what's called a general epistle or a general letter. It wasn't addressed to a particular congregation, but for the entire church. He said, content, because there are people in the church who are teaching something that's contrary to what you've been taught. It's contrary to what was given to you through Jesus, through the disciples and the apostles. So he says, contend for it, defend it, stand up for the truth, stand up for the faith, stand up for what you believe to be true. There are a lot of people today who won't do that. Whatever it is, they are afraid. How do we do that as individuals and as a church? I think we do that by honoring God's Word, by reading and studying the Word and trying to understand it as best we can, and putting it to practice in our lives, and then also being prepared to give an explanation to anyone who might challenge us by what we say or by what we do. Not an abrasive explanation, but a loving, caring expression of what our faith means to us. Jude does something unusual in this passage, because he places the word faith at the end of the sentence for emphasis. And verse in the Bible regarding the faith. There are several places where this is done, and it's usually done in relation to a creed or some belief that's been summarized. Here, Jude says that the body of truth, which was once and for all given to or handed down to the saints, the implication of that is that they had received from the apostles a teaching that was consistent, complete, and final. The Bible, the Scriptures, are complete in themselves. And God has revealed to us His will. There is no new revelation that will come from God. He has spoken, and He has spoken in the loudest way through His Son, Jesus. There are people today who do not believe that. They believe that that revelation is incomplete, that it's still in progress. I remember quite a few years ago at an annual conference, one of our bishops was speaking, and towards the end of his message, he said that he personally did not believe that God's revelation was complete, that it was finished, and that the process, the activity of revelation. He didn't say which church. I would disagree with him. I believe that the scriptures are complete, and God has revealed himself in his son Jesus. So, in our Methodist church today, there is a great conflict between progressives and traditionals, and there are lots of distractions. But at the core and the heart of the issue is how we handle Scripture, and whether it's authoritative and whether it speaks to us today. I think it's unfortunate that one of the Bible teachers whose books we've used in our Sunday school class has said there are parts of the Bible that are no longer relevant for us today. You don't need to read those parts of the Bible because they don't apply to us. And when I read that he has said that, I said to myself, what parts of the Bible? And who decides which parts of the Bible are no longer relevant? When we have that kind of teaching within the church, it divides the church. I came across this illustration in the winter of 1944 during World War II. The German army was in retreat, but had one desperate, known as the Battle of the Bulge. A key part of their strategy was to disrupt and misdirect reinforcement troops that the Americans would send when the battle began. So German spies dressed as military police infiltrated the American lines and positioned themselves for roadblocks, and they directed armor. It was called Operation Grief. The Americans quickly discovered it, but it did cause a delay of the American troops. They captured 18 of the infiltrators, and those people were punished. But the plan fell apart, and many escaped. But the greatest, the American soldiers, for a while, didn't know who they could trust. And several American soldiers were killed because they couldn't answer questions about the United States correctly. High-ranking officers were even detained and their credentials questioned. So the infiltration caused great damage and great with the church. There is so much division now. And in February, when we have our next general conference, that'll all come to display. I really, really believe that these words in the New Testament about false teachers and the results of that are playing themselves out in the larger church. And so the words of Jude are still important to us, that we should keep the faith, contend for the faith, hold on to the faith. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that you would help us individually and as a congregation to honor your word, for your direction and your guidance for all of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is Am I a Soldier of the Cross? It's number 511. Stand if able as we sing this last hymn. Benediction. It's printed in our bulletins. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.